It was brought to my attention that some of the people who in the beginning were really pushing for legislation to approve the sales of recreational marijuana and to open up shops across the state, some of those folks are now saying, maybe this wasn't such a great idea anyways. And I want to talk a little bit more about this story because I don't think it's reaching enough ears and that we're understanding really what's happening behind closed doors and how it's impacting some of our cannabis small businesses. And so joining me this morning to talk more about this and really help us to understand what's been going on in the past couple of years since Connecticut passed its cannabis law, we have Mike Goodenough. And Mike is not only the CEO of Himalayan and High LLC, but he's also the co-founder of what's called the Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance. Mike, welcome to WICC. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Melissa. I appreciate it.
First of all, Mike, can you tell me about the Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance? I'm not too familiar with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We founded probably about 7 months ago. Our goal was to really combine all of the small businesses that are supportive or involved with the cannabis industry. So we're talking about people who make lights. We're talking about people who make bottles, jars. We're talking about the hemp farmers, the CBD shops. We're talking about the license holders for the food and beverage industry. We're talking about truly all of the businesses, to include the ancillary businesses that have an interest in cannabis or are supporting the cannabis industry, and giving them a unified voice. We actually provide mentorship for people who are looking to get into cannabis and don't really know what area to focus in on or what their passion might drive them towards. We provide tools and meetings that help people stay on top of the legislation and the new laws so they stay safe and protected within their business models. And we enable them by being business owners and providing support to them, along with providing them with an outlet to the consumers, to the actual people. So we also have folks who are members that are literally just consumers that are out there that are also looking to protect their interests. So that was really our goal, and our focus is to unify the voices of the different businesses around cannabis as a whole.
So I noticed, Mike, you said that it was formed only months ago, not even a year old. Why are all these entities coming together? What's happening behind the scenes, especially since the rollout of Connecticut's law legalizing marijuana in the state? What has happened? Has there been any division or anything?
Yeah, it's been more and more and more and more, right? So, I mean, the division that's there, the creation of this separation that's happened, has been a rather progressive movement. The hemp farmers have been separated from the ability to cultivate and grow and to be a part of the cannabis industry, although, they've literally been here since the beginning of 2018 and been farming and practicing. The original laws were that you had to be in business for 3 to 5 years in the cannabis industry before you could even file for a license. They're creating division between what's happening now with the liquor industry or the alcohol industry and moving drinks into the package stores as opposed to the dispensaries. They're separating us as far as the dispensary owners and the disproportionately impacted applicants that are there. There's massive separation that's happening between all of the different verticals that exist within this industry.
Why?
And that's happening legislatively. I guess for me, my opinion of why is because it helps them to control the narrative. If they put the hemp farmers in a room and they dangle a carrot and say, hey, we're gonna give you guys this, but we're going to take away that. And then they put the license holders in a room and the beverage holders in another room. And if they separate everybody, they can dangle different carrots of, well, the new law and the new bill will help you here but hurt you there. And then what happens is, quite frankly, they rip out the things that help us. And leave the things that end up hurting us. And so that division and separation prevents us from having a unified voice, and it causes us to really want to protect our own personal interests.
I mean, it's amazing that you were able to get people to come together despite that, because I would think you'd all be almost like pointing the finger at each other.
That's exactly what's happening, right? I mean,
wow.
They're telling the hemp farmers that we're going to be able to to cultivate and potentially grow with current DIAs, which again are the disproportionately impacted cities and people from the drug war in the 80s, right? And it's really heavily focused on if your home, if your schools, anyone who was impacted by the drug war and all of the hypocrisy that really happened during that time, you have a first right to be able to apply for a license. You have a first right to be able to get involved with the industry. And again, they're dangling carrots within the hemp farmers, saying we're going to be able to cultivate. They're saying that, the folks that are new DIA applicants will have a chance at a lottery. They're saying that the drinks and food and beverage manufacturers are going to be able to produce food and drinks that will end up in the dispensaries. But at the same time, they're going to be competitors, quite frankly, that are coming from out of state. Right now, there are drinks being sold in our dispensaries that are being manufactured out of state with high THC in them, which are illegal for our hemp manufacturers to make. But somehow they're able to bring them in from out of state and sell them within our current dispensaries. But our current farmers or our current hemp producers can't manufacture the same products. So, you know, they're creating this massive separation between our industry.
I think that's so unbelievable, because when you look at the narrative, it seems like there's a shop popping up here, there's a license being put in here. But what's interesting to me, Mike, is it does seem like we're seeing the same four or five names pop up constantly. I mean, dare I say this? Kind of sounds like some monopoly stuff going on. Do you believe that's happening?
Unequivocally. I mean, it's 100% spot on. The
wow.
The reality is that originally, you know, the goal was to take folks who don't know how to run these businesses successfully and team them up with a current dispensary so that they had mentorship, so they had some guidance, so they had some ability to go to market with someone who could help them, which was a smart idea, hands down. But what it's done is it's taken these people who already had a foothold in this state, and there's very few of them, right? And that's the key is, if you didn't have the money in the beginning, you weren't getting that license. Now that they have those licenses, they are able to help others in getting involved, which again was a great idea. But it's taken some of these organizations almost 2 years. You're talking about small business owners or people who don't have the funding and don't have the money. And they're supposed to survive for years before they can even open their doors or start generating any kind of revenue. Remember, keeping their investors happy, keeping their business plan. They were never built to sustain years worth of not being able to open. So, you know, they are now starting to open. And yes, they're under the thumb of this monopoly. So now this monopoly has the ability to demand certain things, like they have first right of new licensing. They have first right to access cannabis, which is a massive shortage in our state. Had our state let our hemp farmers actually cultivate and grow, there would not be a shortage. But now they're controlling it, in my opinion, much like the oil industry completely. The Department of Consumer Protection sent out a letter to all of the patients, the medical patients who actually need these cannabinoids, that said that come 420, there will be no more cannabis. So get there
what?
And buy your stuff before 420.
Wait,
sent a letter.
There are people who need the medicinal cannabis being told that we've run out. I didn't even know we had a shortage. How in the world do we have a shortage?
Because that monopoly controls all of the flower being grown in the state. And so
are farmers even making a profit at this point? I mean, you keep hearing about these reports of like the state made this much. Are we even making money, like good money, since we've rolled out recreational in pot shops across Connecticut?
No, we're really not, especially the new ones, because there's a shortage. So you just open
wow.
a brand new store. You're all excited. You've been suffering for 2 years, and now you're being told there's no product for you to sell. How can we be angry that they're bringing in products from out of state? We really can't be spiteful. We have to feel for these people. We have to sit back and say, my God, you guys are not only getting harmed as much as we're being harmed, but you now have opened and spent millions of dollars on opening your location, educating your people. And oh, by the way, there's no product for you to sell. It's absurdity. So again, they're creating a divide between us where these folks are just trying to protect the livelihood that they began to build. And it's the same thing with our hemp farmers. Our hemp farmers started this industry. We spent tons of money building into this industry, and now they're literally ripping our ability to do business in the state out of our hands. They're shutting down our farms. They're shutting down our businesses.
Wow.
Destroying it.
The guy with one of the coolest last names ever invented, Mike Goodenough, is here, who is the co-founder of the Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance and also the CEO of Himalayan High LLC. Tell us, Mike, about your background in the cannabis industry. You clearly are very knowledgeable in it. How long have you been working in this industry?
We've been testifying since 2008, across the different states that are out there. And we've really been trying to free the plant, right? That was the original goal, was to free the plant. It's something that during the 80s was really radically attacked. And it does not belong in the same category as all of the rest of the considered drugs that are out there. There's 140 molecules in this plant. THC is one of them, and CBD is another one. There are a huge number of amazing cannabinoids that are in this plant that are healing to the body, that are important to the body. CBG stills my ADD and my PTSD. CBN is a replacement for melatonin. There's amazing, amazing benefits that come with this plant. And so when we had an opportunity in 2018 to be a hemp farmer, to actually begin to grow this cannabis plant, because hemp and cannabis are literally the same thing. The difference is that one produces THC and the other one produces below 0.3% THC. That's literally the definitive difference. And as part of the USDA or the, you know, Department of Agriculture, hemp was the most profitable crop that a farmer could grow. So for us farmers, it was an amazing opportunity to save our farms, which the farmland in the state had been dwindling radically. And so a lot of us, 287 of us, jumped into this plight of starting to grow this amazing plant. And we're actually the second license holder in the state. We're the first extraction company in the state of Connecticut, Sweet Heel. We really were able to bond with 287 different farmers and help them to make brands, so their own product line, and help them to learn to grow this plant and how to harvest it and how to dry it and cure it and process it. And it became an incredible culture of three different markets. You have the legacy market, the people that are growing at home or have always enjoyed smoking or consuming these products. You have the hemp side, and then you have the legal THC or the cannabis, the dispensary side, right? And it was really, in the beginning, an opportunity for a lot of people to learn a lot of amazing things. And it became what the foundation of our country is, right? A melting pot. It became a melting pot of different people sharing. And
but
it was
do you feel like now watching it, 2 years in the making, do you regret Connecticut rolling out its law?
Oh, I don't know if regret's the right word. I think I've had a lot of friends lose their businesses. I've had a lot of friends who came into this, who put their total heart and soul into it. A lot of folks who wanted to start a small business. A lot of farmers lost their farms, literally losing their family land after five generations. Just absurd impact. And so I think I regret the impact of what these laws have done, because these laws haven't been built around education. Remember, this state has one of the best EDU or educational systems out there. UConn had the very first cannabis cultivation class in the entire country.
I didn't know that.
Has embraced it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so our lawmakers just need to sit with some of the incredible professors that understand the economics, that understand the chemistry, that understand the botany.
So could the law be fixed, Mike, or no at this point?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, it could be.
So
what's happening now? I mean, are you guys lobbying to do anything now during the legislative session or you have been?
We have been, yeah. So a lot of what the Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance does is, the minute the laws come out, so general law comes out with a new recommendation on the law. which is usually helped to be written by the Department of Consumer Protection. So in this state, we have the Department of Consumer Protection, DCP, who controls the regulatory around cannabis. And we have the Department of Agriculture, who controls the hemp side. Mm. Department of Agriculture has been cut out of any of these discussions.
How? That's we have, literally...
It's insane.
Sorry. Okay, no, go on. Sorry.
No, you're right. It's insane.
Oh, it's just logical. Come on. My five-year-old could tell you that the Department of Ag should be involved with hemp farmers, but whatever. It's fine. Go on. Yep.
Yep. 100%. Mm-hmm. And no, it's absurd. And in fact, they did it right. They were the ones who built the first laws that absolutely did it right. Mm. So these new laws come out, and they come out with a recommendation of what the bill is going to say. And that bill is then discussed with people in back rooms. We all have an opportunity to publicly testify. This year, we had a larger turnout than we've had ever, with the exception of when we were trying to legalize cannabis in the very first place.
Sure.
And then they sit with the lobbyists, if you can afford them. They sit with the lobbyists of these groups, like the Connecticut Hemp Industrial Association or the other groups that are out there, and they discuss what those folks would like to see in law. And then they dangle carrots and they make offerings of, well, the hemp farmers are going to be able to grow with a DIA, so stop complaining.
And so we're back to being compartmentalized and told something that is not actually happening in the legislation. And Mike, unfortunately, we've run out of time for today, but I have a feeling we've just opened up a can of worms here on WICC. So I hardly think the story is over. And I just want to thank you for getting it started and having this conversation on our show. And I know you'll certainly be back very soon.
Thank you for taking this plight on.
Yeah.
We need people like you.
It's very important, I think, for people to also know that what you see on the surface and what you read in the news sometimes, that there's a lot of deeper stuff going on behind the scenes. So I thank you for highlighting that here on WACC, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Have a beautiful morning.
Thank you. You too. And again, Mike Goodenough, who is the co-founder of the Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance. If you want to learn more, they do have a website. It is ctcannabisalliance.org. He is also the CEO of Himalayan High LLC and has been in this industry for a very long time, for over 20 years, it sounds like. I'm not great at math, but I'm pretty sure he's been in this for a very long time, very educated on this subject.